This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 6th of November, 2023, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. Let's start the show with our Sand Dollar Live read. This holiday season is approaching quickly, and there's no better time than the present to start sprucing up your home. AID and CBS Bahamas have everything you need and more. Plus, they now proudly accept Sand Dollar, the digital Bahamian dollar. When you pay in Sand Dollar anywhere over the next few weeks, hold on to your receipt because the Sand Dollar Adoption Unit at the Central Bank has some exciting rebate promotions coming soon. Now, if today is the 6th of November, that means yesterday was the day we were supposed to remember. Remember the 5th of November. Next time, the system, we will dismember. I'm not quite sure if that's how it went, but that's how it goes now. That's how I commemorate Guy Fawkes Day. Remember the 5th of November. Next time, maybe the system, we'll dismember. Good morning, Bahamas. I have joining me in studio today two representatives from the University of the Bahamas. We're talking about an exciting and important event. Joining me in studio is Mr. C.A. Murray. Because of the two of us, he is the poet and writer.
I'm just excited that UB is here. So I can't wait to introduce your guests.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
All right. We have joining us Dr. Douglas Barkey, Dean of the College of Liberal and Fine Arts, and Dr. Marie Searsing, Associate Professor in this professor. Let me rephrase that, sir. Dr. Marie Searsing, professor in the School of English Studies at the University of the Bahamas. On this show, we celebrate education.
Yes.
And we celebrate education achievements. And congratulations, Mrs. Searsing.
Thank you so very much. Wonderful to be here.
Wow, awesome. So we're here to talk about an exciting event coming up this weekend, something that all of us should figure out how we're going to attend. I myself am going to get dressed up in a dress and sneak in through the side door because I love UB very, very much. They are having an award dinner to honor four writers who have made significant contributions to the canon of Bahamian literature. I'm going to let our guests introduce themselves, and then they are going to tell us who the four people are that are being honored at this award dinner being presented by the School of English Studies in the College of Liberal and Fine Arts.
Okay, it's a real, real pleasure to have come to this moment, actually, that we are, as the Blue Flamingo Literary Festival, in a position now to have our inaugural awards dinner. It's very exciting. The four honorees are Patricia Glinton McCullis, Patrick Ranning, Susan J. Wallace, posthumously, and Ian Strawn. So those are our four honorees for this award.
All right, so let's get into the details for the evening, and then we get back to why these four writers. The event is taking place on Friday, the 10th of November, 6:30 p.m.
That's this Friday, right?
Yeah, that's this Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, November's closing out soon. It's a good time to buy my Christmas gift, sir.
Yeah.
At Choices Restaurant on the UB Oaksfield campus. Dress code, smart casual, cost $150.
Nice.
Absolutely. So tell us a bit about the structure of the night, and then again, why these four artists.
Okay, so basically, the program follows in this manner. We have a welcome by our president, our acting president, Janine Hodder, followed by readings by students. So we have four UB students who are going to be reading the works of these honorees.
Okay, awesome. Mm-hmm.
And remarks, of course, by our Dean of Liberal and Fine Arts, Dr. Doug Barkey, followed by a dinner. And we, of course, can't have a dinner without the music. Mm-hmm. And so Chris Justillion, one of, you know, our faculty members as well, with his Gumbe Ensemble will be providing the music for the dinner.
This is a high-end event.
Well, we say smart casual. We want it accessible to people who would come to such an event. You know, it's not a $300 ticket, in other words. So we want to have fun. We want to honor these people, and we want it to be actually become a signature event of the university, because this is going to be, hopefully, an annual event. This is the inaugural one.
So, ladies, keep your dancing shoes neatly tucked into your purse, right next to your Ziploc. Ziploc is the new furl, Mr. Nuri. You didn't know.
I have Ziploc in my bag.
And Choices is the new Bahama Culinary Festival.
Yes.
The food is going to be excellent.
I've dined at Choices several times in my youth. But who's your target audience, right? Because I'm committed to come. I'm committed to come because I'm in that art sphere and I love poetry, right?
Exactly.
So I am coming.
People,
but who is your target audience?
People like yourself.
Okay.
Literary people who, you know, certainly will acknowledge who the personnel are, who these honorees are, and people who are interested in, you know, the events of the university more broadly. We have several events in succession. There's another one the subsequent Friday, on the subsequent Thursday, rather, on the 16th, which is the Anatole Rogers Memorial Lecture. So we always, our faculty always has a lineup of really interesting and important events.
Now, are you going to tell us in advance who's giving the lecture, or do we have to come to the award dinner to find out who's giving the memorial lecture?
Ah, you give us an idea there, Erin. I think I'll use that strategy.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's going to be exciting. The Anatole Rogers Memorial Lecture is not one to be missed. I remember the Cooper Lecture.
Carolyn Cooper.
Carolyn Cooper. It was an excellent... I mean, it was just, it was fire in the room.
Mm-hmm. Sonia Sanchez.
Another excellent presentation as well. Was Walcott a part?
Walcott was a presenter.
I mean, listen, I just want to share with y'all.
Walcott is the poet laureate for the Caribbean?
Yeah.
Okay, that's right.
Prolific.
Nobel Prize winner.
Oh, okay.
Right, prolific. Hilarious. Hilarious. Is he still alive? He's passed, right? So I could say it now.
Yeah.
Rude old man. But hilarious and tremendously insightful and aware. And you got that both in the lecture and outside of the formal lecture space, right? Mm-hmm. And so the university, the Blue Flamingo Literary Festival, the School of English Studies, have been curating the space of... both traditional, like traditional and radical thought, could sit in the same place and rub up against each other and produce magic.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
What I'm inquiring is, why is this festival so important? When I say important to the Bahamas as a whole, important to students, important to our culture, our social well-being.
Think of literary festivals across the ages. Okay, we have like many across the globe. All right. And, you know, there's this magic list of the best 21 literary festivals across Germany, Australia, you name it. Festivals, literary festivals are important. On the way up here, Bernadette, Erin was talking about the ways in which attitudinal shifts have taken place, whether in our driving, the way we deal with each other, not recognizing the humanity in the other person. I think, you know, in that way, literature is an important, the humanities more broadly, and literature, of course, in a specific kind of way, is very important for, you know, that level of, what shall I say, humanizing people, you know, making them sensitive to their interactions with others. You know, and it goes from the interpersonal to, you know, global, dealing with global issues. How do we sit side by side, as you say? How do we confront, interrogate issues of life, living on this planet and being human?
You ever overheard a conversation, say, oh, that child, she's so well-managed, she engaged so well, but I don't ever see her talking to anybody. Because reading helps you to figure out and learn empathy through engaging with other characters and their life experience through the book. Spatial awareness, without even having to engage with people in your real life, but it prepares young people for those things. How do I navigate a room? You learn through what you experience through reading.
Absolutely.
Earlier, Aaron, you mentioned why were these four poets chosen?
So let's call their names.
I'm familiar with the poets, right? Yeah. I have each one of these poets' books, plural, right? These are some of the premier writers in the Bahamas, right? They chronicle our history. Because I make reference to one or two of the poems that recorded things that ordinary people may have forgotten or should know. And I want to re-emphasize that question again. Why were these four chosen?
And call the names.
Okay, the names are Patricia Glinton McCullis, powerhouse. We've got Patrick Ramming, Susan J. Wallace, Ian Strawn. Four very powerful people in terms of their literary contribution. It's not just literary across the literary genre. You know, there are many of them writers in more than just one genre. Mm-hmm. And they're all poets, they're playwrights,
musicians.
Yes. And so somebody like Pat Ramming, let's start with him. You know, he is not just a poet. As Aaron says, he's a musician. You know, a song like Umwale, that you're familiar with. It's like, it's so anthemnal. It's so regal, you know? And so he writes across different genre, and I consider him a public intellectual. Pat is never without his little black book, and he's forever making jottings, and he's forever writing, you know, recording, as you say, historically. And in fact, he has shared with me that he recently wrote a political satire, which is in the process of publication as we speak. And so, yes, along with, you know, the poetry he's been published in From the Shallow Seas, he has his own anthology, his own collection, Thoughts in Black and White. And he's been, you know, widely published elsewhere. He's written plays, et cetera, some of which have been staged in Shakespeare in Paradise recently, you know, in their 10-month play honoring Bahamian playwrights as part of the Shakespeare in Paradise series. Mm-hmm.
You know, and like as we talk about the increase in violence in communities, in homes, we see more and more women engaged in public, in conflict, it's exposed more. And Pat Ramming wrote that song, Baintown Woman, right? Which shows us that the women don't just explode for no reason. There's a long line, there's a long history behind that fire, right? Mm-hmm. And Pat, forgive me, I even feel odd saying that, Mr. Ramming, right? Senior man,
yes,
encapsulates that, you know, in this song. And I love it, and people love it.
The line I love is, Mary, don't take no mess.
And everybody understand that and what that means. Mm-hmm. And what it means to take Mary beyond that point. She's had enough. And I don't think we have created the mechanisms necessary yet to capture this broadly. The university is just one part of it, right? And then it takes culturalists like CA and I, social commentators like CA and I, to continually draw the linkage of our lives to the experiences of Bahamians past, right? And that's what these artists do. So let's go through the details for the event again. Dr. Barkey, I'm not sure if you can spend a little more time.
Yeah, Dr. Barkey fits into this, being the DO.
Because we know Ms. Sersing has to make a urgent meeting. So let's just run through the details again, and then we're going to...
Or you can stay and be hashing over with you.
Unless Ms. Sersing is your ride, in which case...
No, we're driving separately, but...
absolutely. So... tell me again the name of it, because I didn't realize this is the Blue Flamingo Literary Festival inaugural award
dinner,
honoring four writers who have made significant contributions to the canon of Bahamian literature: Patricia Glinton McCullis, Patrick Ramming, Susan Wallace, and Ian Strawn. The event takes place this Friday, the 10th, 6:30 p.m. at Choices Restaurant on UB campus, UB Oaksfield campus, on the Old Thompson Boulevard. Dress is smart casual. Cost is $150. I'm going to be at the door charging people $1 a piece for each Ziploc bag you bring in. The food is going to be excellent.
Tickets are available at Chapter One Bookstore, University Drive.
Tickets are available.
And you can buy them online.
And online.
Yeah. Okay, and online. So I'm going to go to UB School of English Studies.
To get the link.
To get the link.
I think it's right off the front cover. There's an ad.
Awesome. So just search University of the Bahamas. Front page will have an ad there. Again, Ms. Searsing, this is going to be a wonderful event.
Absolutely.
Will it be televised? Will it be recorded?
We are working on it being recorded. I'm not sure about being televised.
Yeah, okay. Probably not live, it'll be recorded.
Yes, certainly.
Oh, excellent. So stay tuned to the University of the Bahamas' main Facebook page for details.
Yes, and as Ms. Dr. Searsing is leaving, are you leaving now or are you going to give me a couple more minutes?
Okay.
Oh, see, God is good.
There you go.
I only have to pray for things and claim it.
Quick right? question.
But, go ahead.
No, I'm saying.
No, I was going to ask from how does fine arts and liberal arts fits into all of this?
Well, the School of English Studies is part of College of Liberal and Fine Arts, so they're one of our two schools. The other school is Communication and Creative Arts, so really that's a really natural part of our program. I wanted to highlight the involvement of students in this activity. I think that's really, really important. First of all, just even the fact that it's taking place in choices, so you have students serving you, cooking, and so on. Then in the program itself, you'll notice all the reading is by students who are all participating. So I think that's one of our other audiences, really, when we talk mm-hmm. about our audience. Sure, it's all the professionals and so on who've grown up with these well-known writers, but also our own students are going to benefit from that exposure that evening, as well as Stephen. The fact that we're honoring them, I think, is in itself a valuable mm-hmm. thing.
And to them, you know, these are the literary luminaries. They get to mm-hmm. be among. They get excited.
Yeah.
You know, we do, for example, in my 300 class, we do a segment on film analysis and Ian Strawn's Gunboy's Rhapsody. Though it is a staged performance, the play, it was filmed and recorded and available now on YouTube. So they're watching it as a film, understanding it as a play.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting really involved with the thematic elements. You talk about violence and so on. You know, they are outraged by it. They are sensitized by it. They have discussions around it and so on. And, you know, look at the larger sociological implications of it, etc. So they get very excited and to be exposed to literature that they perhaps have not read before. And you know, I don't know if you know that there was a hiatus in literature or literary instruction in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there was a time when no BJC literature was being offered because BGCSE had come on stream and there were not enough markers to cover the whole gamut. And so literature was not a compulsory subject as it had been in years before. And so, you know, we find now a lot of these students perhaps have not had exposure to these writers.
Where's Dr. Fielding? We're going to need another research paper on this. No, important. And, and I think that speaks volumes to what we're seeing today, that the lack of the space, because that just having the space reinforces the importance of the process of reading as a normal, integral part of your day. I know you have to leave, Dr. Searsing.
Regrettably, I'm so sorry. I do have an appointment.
I was enjoying the conversation.
Yes,
we could go another half an hour easily.
Absolutely. And you know, every time I told UB I'd be back, I meant it. So
All four times. You dropped out a lot.
Yeah, and I'll go back if they have me, right? But if I can invite them into my space, I'll be even happier.
Mm. And she was an excellent student.
She's just bright. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
She writes well.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's my problem now. Anyway, I will be joined. I'm hoping to join you.
Please do.
I will be honest, though. I'm only allowed to wear a dress once a year, and I've filled my quota for Halloween.
Let this be the occasion.
This could be the occasion.
She really did a quota of dresses, though.
For a year.
For
Halloween.
Oh, my.
Yes.
You missed it. The Halloween hike. Hail the halls of Guardian 96.9 FM. If you see the Halloween hike, Erin Green in a dress on Halloween, and you don't give her candy, she will hag you for the rest of your days or until you give her candy. You have been warned. This Friday, 10th of November. Come and celebrate actual literary artists. Don't mind me on the
If you are a student who loves literature.
Right, if you're a UB alum, you have to show up. If you're a parent.
If you're a poet.
You have to show up.
Yes.
Come and be inspired.
If you enjoy social commentary.
You must show up.
Yeah.
If you love Bahamian music, you got to be there.
And it's going to be a who's who in the Bahamas. It's going to be there too, definitely.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Searsing. Dr. Barkley, if you're able, you could remain a few minutes. We could interrogate you about the value of this event, the Bahamian Collective Psyche. You tuned into On the Clock with Erin Green. We'll be right back after this break.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827 4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
The holiday season is upon us, and everyone's going to be looking for those special items on their gift list. Merchants, here's your opportunity to have your products placed in the Nassau Guardian's holiday gift guide. This year, shoppers are going to be searching for perfect presents at the right price. Anything from a family island weekend getaway to electronics, jewelry, and even clothes. Santa Claus is coming to town. For one low price, you can have your ads published twice this December in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. Deadline for registration is Wednesday, November 30th. Be sure to contact your Nassau Guardian sales agent or call the Nassau Guardian directly at 302-2300. Be sure to ask about our 15-30-second Christmas radio commercial bonanza.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. Our gift to you. Because Christmas is...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Our guests had to leave us, but this is going to be an exciting event this weekend. The Blue Flamingo Literary Festival Inaugural Award Dinner, honoring four significant Bahamian writers: Patricia Glinton McCollis, Patrick Ramming, Susan Wallace, and Ian Strawn.
I love the idea that this is going to be a yearly event. That mm-hmm. means there will be more writers in the Bahamas who's going to be recognized and celebrated. Mm-hmm. We have scores, if not hundreds, of writers, Bahamian writers, here. I mean, and not just average work. I mean, premier work. Some of the best in the Caribbean who's recognized internationally, mm-hmm. but not necessarily recognized here. Yeah. And this is an opportunity for us to celebrate them and say, hey, I didn't know that was you who wrote this, right?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited about that.
And this event, the festival itself, enables us to participate more effectively, beneficially in the larger global literary space, because you are recognized at home first, right? Like you get placement, exposure in a local literary festival, and then sort of agents and scouts, they look at that festival space to see who in country is being recognized, and they pull from there, right? So this is a great mechanism, a local mechanism that will enable greater exposure in the international sphere. And Justilian will be there with the Gombe Ensemble.
And he's one of our premier musicians, too. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be some high-end entertainment and engagement in terms of dancing. And you know when... Because I've seen our police band be critiqued and said, hey, that tune is out of tune. Justilian's songs, band, never out of tune. They
perfect.
Perfect. They're perfect. Yep. And then if you listen to what that jungle group,
Colors,
and listen to their band, perfect.
Great music.
The great music. You know, everyone's on cue. Ain't no mistake there. No one or the tune there. It's perfect all the time.
Right. I guess you could look, when you look at Junkanoo groups, you look at the spaces that they are excelling in the parades, and then you go in and then you realize the expertise that these groups have been able to secure, right, to capture within their group to grow the space. Some of our country's greatest sculptors, right, they in Junkanoo groups, they are responsible for the evolution of costumes, because what's possible is what their fingertips can imagine, right? And then they bring that vision to the rest of the group. I'm sure we don't take into account accurately the extent to which our artisans and our experts in those fields inform other areas, both professional and social.
And you know, Aaron, I tend to brag that I have one of the largest collection of poetry books,
mm-hmm.
right? 150 different Bohemian poets I have home in my
150
library.
Different poets and multiple books from some of them.
Multiple books from some of them, right? Yeah. 150 different poets. To know that we have so many poets in the Bahamas, we have Bohemians who are producing poetry every day,
mm-hmm.
right? Means that poetry is important to us,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the book that most Bohemians seek out or seek out to publish.
Mm-hmm.
So having a literary celebration for this genre of writing is something important. And anyone who's a poet and who have read these works, who appreciate the written word, should show up and celebrate their fellow poets and show up and critique their work, match their work against the Bahamas' best.
Yeah. Like without a doubt. And, you know, some of us will sit and say, oh, these Bahamians, they don't care about literature. They don't care about the fine arts. Like you pointed out, we have a whole bunch of poets in this town. The question is, are they able to connect? Do they have access to? Are they aware of the mechanisms that currently exist that embrace poets, that embrace writers, that create a space for the exposure of their work? And so that means we got to do a little bit more work, us social commentators, in connecting people to the spaces that they need to be in, right? Whether they exist already or whether they need to carve them out for themselves, right? One of our roles as social commentators is to connect people to things.
And I'm eager to see what the students of the UBC students, how they perform these poetry.
Right.
There are some great pieces that each one of these poets have created, crafted out.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that performance, to hear that. Because I know Pat Ramin poetry, for me with him, where you sit back and go, what? You know, they get all in awe. I go, oh, you know, that's what he said, right? Because he chronicles social history. And I know Susan Wallace, I'm familiar with her work in terms of she records also women's rights, social history, mm-hmm.
and experiences. Women.
Yes. Yeah. And of course, Miracles is the premier writer. I know everyone knows Ian Strawn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the Bahamas knows Ian Strawn. And just to be in his presence, I find that young people get excited, teary eye, and say, mm-hmm. he's in my presence, you know?
And for a variety of projects, Diarrhea of Lost Souls, mm-hmm. Gun Boy Rhapsody, then there's the documentaries, Iceman.
I was in that documentary, by the way.
I know, I saw you.
I saw you too.
Yeah. It's an excellent documentary.
Yeah.
To this newest book, is it Chinaka?
Yes. No, the book is, I have it right there.
And he's having a signing coming up, I think, November 11th or November 10th, actually. He has a book signing coming up soon. Go online, search Ian Strawn. There we go. Blind Days. That's what's his middle name, Ian Chinaka Strawn. This is a beautiful image on the front of this book, eh?
Yeah, I got jealous of it.
I just want you to know that this book has been well read.
Yeah, still reading it. I travel with it everywhere I go.
Yeah. Excellent, excellent book. Again, a Meet the Author and book signing coming up, I think, within the next week for Ian Strawn's latest project.
But let's transition.
Okay, but just quickly. One of the reasons to go, one of the questions I want to ask, like all four of them, is to sort of talk about the tension that these artists feel in society. It's sort of a personal tug and pull and a collective social tug and pull. Dr. Strawn in particular, you know, I want him to just make documentary and write play.
Yes.
But he's at the university leading the Northern Campus, right? And I know there's great value in that for him as well as his other work. Patricia Glinton McCullis all the time. I try to kidnap her and have her join my rebel army, you know? But she's busy working on projects like the Cascarilla project and the Straw project they've been working on. You know, the dictionaries, all of the things. And I'm sure that these artists feel the tension as well. All of the things that they want to do, they could be doing, they have to do. They have to do for themselves. They have to do for the country. They have to do for future generations. And I think what a wonderful time to be alive. when you can have so many different things tugging on you as a professional. But like you say, Mr. Newry, let's transition. I've got some stories today that I want to put on the table. Cool Acres Shantytown fire, and then another story. I know we've all been talking about the Shantytown fire, but let's start quickly with this one. I call it the Windsor Lake Project, right? And start with this article, Developer Sparks 500 Leads with Communities Sales Start. As the Nassau Tribune, 10th of August, a couple of months ago in this year. I'm going to read an excerpt from that article. Robert Myers, principal of the former Adelaide Pines Project, which has been renamed Windsor Lakes, told Tribune Business that the project is now only waiting on the Ministry of Works to review its performance bond submission before it can convert reservations into actual sales agreements. With this final approval thought to be imminent, he estimated that the developers will invest at least $35 million to $40 million in building out all the roads, common areas, gated entrance, and other infrastructure required for the project as they eye a substantial completion date of end of 2024. So, Mr. Newry, this is a story that I had been talking about earlier in the year when the development was labeled the Adelaide Pines Project. I thought the Adelaide Pines Project was still on the table in the sense that it had not been formally approved yet. And then I saw this post online and somebody was complaining about noise. There's a nuisance complaint in the Adelaide area. And they said that, look, there were excavators moving 24/7 in this area near to me, and our peace in this community is being disturbed, right, constantly. So I said, let me do some research and figure out what the person is talking about. And that's when I found this article. Mm-hmm. And I still haven't connected that complaint to this story. But this story got me because I remember talking about the Adelaide Pines Project. Mm-hmm. Right, with Principal Robert Myers, but that's been renamed to the Windsor Lakes Project.
So it's changed names?
It's changed names. It's also changed in substance.
Wait, Robert Myers, that's the person from the port?
I'm not sure.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't think that's the person from the port. But the article goes on to say, Mr. Myers, who has partnered with Bahamas resident Michael Huttman to develop Windsor Lakes, also disclosed that Park Ridge Securities, the entity that developed Albany, is no longer involved with the project.
Interesting.
So that made me pause because I remember distinctly the project developers, the Adelaide Pines project developers, talking about the space being a middle to upper middle income area and intimated or suggested that the people who they expect to fill these homes would be people who are working in the Albany community.
This don't sound like working class people, Aaron.
Well, I'm still very upset that the road Liberated African Way seems to have had a name change.
I blame the government. Because one have to apply to have a name of the road change.
Right.
And bear with me, Aaron, because we need to hash this out. Even though I know this is not part of the conversation, I just wanted to hash it out. Adelaide is important to the Bohemian psyche, the Bohemian culture, the Bohemian history, the Bohemian story.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those free villages where formerly enslaved people,
mm-hmm.
those persons who were kidnapped and shipped to this Western Hemisphere and were freed, mm-hmm. never faced slavery, were able to find solitude and salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Adelaide Village mean something. The street you're speaking it used to be called what?
Liberated African Way. And apparently that land was granted to
Yes.
Liberated Africans.
Liberated Africans. That's the only street in that community that reminds us of that heritage, that history. It's called Liberated African Way for a reason, right? So all of us who are African descent, even European descent, who abhors the abomination of slavery, but want to commemorate it in terms of remembering the past and so it doesn't happen again. The idea that they have a street named Liberated African Way, and somebody came and changed the name.
Yeah, and I think the sign I saw is either Beach Palm Beach Drive or Palm Drive. I am extremely offended.
And there's no uproar. There was no uproar. The community.
Well, if there was uproar, it didn't make it, right? It didn't make it outside of the tighter community. Because I would have said something about, and that's not to say that I see everything that happens, because I certainly don't see everything that happens, but if there was an uproar, it wasn't sufficiently large, right? It wasn't enough of an uproar. See, when you told me that the development was to accommodate people who would be working in Albany, right? Working with Albany, my heart bent a little bit, right? So I say, okay, these are a working class, upper working class, lower middle class Bahamians, middle class Bahamians who need homes, right? But when I went to the Windsor Lakes website, the first thing I saw on the website was lots starting from $195,000 and homes starting from $895,000. I repeat it. When I go to the website, Windsor Lakes, right on the main page, it says lots starting from $195,000.
I know working class people.
That ain't no middle class or upper middle class people either. I just want to state for the record, that ain't no upper middle class people.
No.
Lots starting at $195,000.
That's for rich
people.
Yeah, right? That's rich people.
And so I got some questions.
Go ahead. What's your questions you have?
Would a change as significant as that require a reignition of the approval process? See, because when we started the project, right, it was for middle to upper middle income people working in Albany. But now, lots start at $195,000 and homes start at $895,000. I don't feel like this is the same project. And I feel like y'all supposed to go through the approval process all over again. See, I got some other questions as well, right? When we go to the article entitled Strong Start on Market for Windsor Lakes Project, that's the 6th of September, 23. Ryan Knowles, founder and chief executive of Mason Bahamas Real Estate, told Tribune Business that the development has placed 25 of their 179 lots on reserve in its first month on the market. Right now, they haven't gotten their final approvals, but this process is legit because they're only placed on reserve. They can't sell any lots until they've gotten the final approvals, right? But a quote from this article: that process obviously takes a number of months, and right now I think we're at about 80% of the roads being cleared and drivable, which is nice. So that whole little bit of commentary there prompted some questions for me, right? And one of the first questions is about the approval process. Why are projects being approved before the EIA or the EMP is approved? Now, when I say approved, this thing y'all like to say, like, permission in principle. Because these guys have already started doing some fundamental work. What if the result of the EIA is that they can't do the they can't continue with the project, right? But you're telling me you got 80% of the roads being cleared. That doesn't mean, and it says undrivable, which is nice. See, I can't find the EIA or an EMP for the Windsor Lakes project on the DEPP site. That's the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection website. right? Is there one site that documents the entire approval process step by step in the same place? And then I got another question, Mr. Newry. When did the lakes show up on the drawing board, right? Because in the initial discussion about the approval process, the town hall meeting, the questions that were and concerns raised in the town hall meeting, they didn't sort of identify that a central part of this project would be the lakes that they're going to create. We knew that they were going to create some new water systems, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this looks far greater than what was proposed.
It should be interesting to see the environmental impact. I've seen none of the usual suspects of environmentalists have not raised any alarm. But just by what you're reading, I am alarmed, and I have no clue what I'm supposed to be looking for. But this sounds like a lot of dredging. It just sounds like a lot of dredging. It sounds like the water table could be impacted. I am concerned just hearing about it.
And how will the lakes impact the agricultural areas, right, zoned in that area? Because I think the area is still zoned half part residential, part agricultural, right? What about the environmental impact? And what about surge? How will these new constructions impact the land, right? So close to the water, low-lying. What about hurricane surge? What about tsunami surge? All of these things are things that should be put on the table before any approval is given. How far into a project do you have to go, right? Like, how far along in a project can you proceed and then an EIA report says, no, like, you have to stop it? Like, how far along in a project can you, do you have to go so that the project is so big it can't be stopped, right? Like, this is my concern, and perhaps I'm not articulating it clearly enough. But this Windsor Lake project is not the same Adelaide Pines project that was initially put on the table and partially approved. I just want to know, how are we doing these things? But it gets better, Mr. Newry. There are even more questions to ask. When you go to the Windsor Lakes Frequently Asked Questions website, right? Here's a quote. The question is, can I have rentals? Can I use my property as a rental property?
I assume they say no.
The answer is, short-term rentals will be allowed with a 3-night minimum stay required. Renters, guests are required to be registered with security before being allowed access into the community.
I kind of uneasy with this, Aaron. This sounds like it's an Airbnb depot.
Pause. The developer will also be offering a rental program that homeowners may sign up for.
So there's a prerequisite then. They already spoke to government and got approval to be an Airbnb depot.
Short-term rentals will be allowed with the 3 minimum night stay required.
It's a hotel.
I'm wondering, has the Bahamas Hotel and Tourism Association or agency, have they endorsed this? Are they aware of this? Right?
And shouldn't one be able to apply individually to seek permission from the government to be an Airbnb operator? It's not a group thing?
A, right? B, wouldn't they have to announce that? Like, isn't that the sort of decision that should be announced publicly? Right? It seems odd in the midst of a housing crisis, right? You put this project on the table and say, look, people need homes and all of this unnecessary concern. You holding up progress, you get a bill, people need homes. But how many of the people can afford this? And then, on top of it, even if I could afford it, right, even if I could make it on the list to afford it, you're telling me that I may not get the home, and somebody may get the home, and they could just rent it out to foreigners and turn it into a hotel. And I'm a Bahamian who could afford it, and I still can't get into it.
It seems very commercial, as if it's foreign-centered and not promotion of Bahamians in general. I'm all cool for Bahamians owning property and renting their housing. But imagine these people building their what do they call it, a home, second home, in the Bahamas, and then instead of coming to live inside it, they use it as a rental, a way of income. Something got to be wrong with that, man. That wasn't, surely that's not the intention, to have them have a rental unit, not being a second home.
The development itself, right? The developer will also be offering a rental program that homeowners may sign up for. I'm just saying, in the midst of a housing crisis, I cannot appreciate the need for this particular project. But furthermore, it appears to me that the project has changed so significantly that it would require the reignition, the renewal, you know, that they have to apply again. But I leave that right there. I got a text. It says, y'all can't afford Windsor Lake. Stop crying. And you brokies can buy land in Bainetown and Fox Hill. Y'all complaining about Windsor Lake's developers, but y'all need not direct your angry at them. Your black leaders sold them the land, so stop crying and accept this couple jobs.
Is that private land or is that government crown land?
That's what we're trying to, I guess we have to figure out exactly where it is. But they were wetlands, right? So I feel like a part of it was sort of government-controlled wetlands.
Government tend not to sell land, though.
I know. They tend.
But they tend not to sell land, though.
Yeah.
So more like this is private land.
It's likely that it's private land.
I wonder who owned land before.
We got to do some inquiry.
Hmm.
It's very difficult finding information about the project the first time around when I began my initial research, but I don't have any children, so I could dedicate my life to doing this type of research. I got another text. Is there a project slated for the Fox Hill area like this with a marine docking station?
In Fox Hill, there is a project through Fox Hill South. Going towards the water's edge.
At the bottom of Fox Hill Road, closer to Hannah Roadside?
Closer past Hannah Roadside, yeah.
Yeah. There was a project. I also talked about that on the show. I had a list of projects. They were all sort of happening around the same time, and we were trying to figure out exactly what was happening and whether we had sufficient organized labor.
Mm-hmm.
Right, for Bahamians.
We had a discussion on this in terms of whose jobs are we creating?
Right.
And is there enough labor, Bahamian labor here? And if there's not Bahamian labor here, the jobs that we're creating for foreigners to be imported.
Right. And so then the next question that's sort of implied with that, well then, who in the Bahamas is then making money on these projects if the projects require foreign labor to complete them on their timelines, right? To complete them. Who then is benefiting from these projects and in what way?
And similar to Abaco, there's a labor shortage. Therefore, we cannot be deporting anybody when there's a labor shortage.
And we're putting so many projects on the table.
And stacking again and again and again, despite there being a labor shortage.
I have another text here that says, we would like to know who is responsible for the paving of roads in all of Bahama Sound here in Exuma.
Sweeting. Call his name out loud. Say it 6 times he appears. Sweeting.
You hear that, texter? Say Sweeting 6 times and he will appear. How many times is that so far?
Oh, no, it's only twice. Or three
you
times.
Said it 3 times. I said it once.
Yeah, we can say it together.
Okay. Sweeting.
No. They need to say it.
Oh, yeah. You all need to say it 6 times.
6 times.
Together. In a circle?
Yeah, in a circle.
Because I'm Exuma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the old bear man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's just something that popped up for me. Like I said, I found this post on social media, and somebody was very concerned because their community is being disrupted by a noise nuisance, and they are saying that the noise nuisance is heavy duty contractor and construction equipment moving, and they allege 24/7, I imagine, for an extended period throughout a 24-hour day, and they are very concerned. So again, I ask, the Windsor Lake project, is it the same thing as the Adelaide Pines project, and has it morphed sufficiently to require the reignition or require the developers to apply again? Because lots starting from $195,000, producer, let's take the call to homes starting at $895,000 does not seem like a middle class, upper middle class project. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Listen, you got this, Sparky?
Yeah.
Do me a favor, Sparky. It's 11:02. Call back on the other side of the hour. Thank you very much. Producer, take us to that break, please. We are all out of time. Again, let me remind you, the Blue Flamingo Literary Festival's inaugural award dinner honoring four writers who have made significant contributions to the canon of Bahamian literature, Patricia Glinton McCullis, Patrick Ramming, Susan Wallace, and Ian Strawn, this Friday, the 10th of November, 6:30 p.m., Choices Restaurant, UB Oaksfield Campus. Smart Casual, cost is $150. Come and celebrate us at the award dinner. Have a great day, Bahamas. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with CA Newry is up next.